This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 20th, episode 1023, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World. It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
I got to be honest with you, Glenn. Today is one of those days when my alarm went off this morning, and I'm like, no. Did I set my alarm for 2 in the morning? Seriously? It cannot be time to wake. Cannot be time to wake up. I've got that Monday morning horse show hangover thing, you know?
Well, I got to commend you. I really do, because you were so calm and cool in your opener. I am Jamie Jennings. It was so calm. And 2 minutes before that, in our pre-show meeting, you were ranting and raving and about ready to burst. And then all of a sudden, I don't know what you can do, but you just toned it down. What a professional you are.
Now, Glenn, that was for behind the scenes. I don't want to complain about the show on the air, okay? I was trying to be a decent person, although I'm pretty pissed because I did not have any cross-country jump penalties, and I just looked online, and they gave me penalties. And I had 7th place, but I should have got 6th place the whole time because I went to lodge a complaint because I didn't think I had any jump penalties, which I didn't. And then they go on and put me as having jump penalties, which I should have moved up place because I went to lodge protest, and they told me I didn't have any. So are you good now? Are you happy with what you've done, Glenn?
You're always better when you're all revved up. So now that I've accomplished that goal.
Yeah, thanks. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show? I need a moment.
Gonna go take some Valium there, Jamie.
Good
on today's, Lord. On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we open with 2 very different weekend flying adventures from our co-hosts. We've already gotten a preview of one of them. And then next up, a mere 11 days until Breeders' Cup, so Marion Altieri stops by with our first look at the big weekend. And trotting along at the back of the parade like a Rose Bowl pooper scooper, it's Wiley of Horse Nation. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. Maybe. And my daily Winnie. Happy birthday, Jamie. It was your birthday yesterday, I know, but I'm coming in a day late. Happy birthday.
Thanks. I thought you forgot. You haven't said a word about it.
I'm
pleased. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was. The days don't get better than they did yesterday when you get to go gallop cross country on your horse with your husband and baby watching and all your friends there. It was really, really, really a special day. So thanks.
Is baby Luke old enough now to recognize you as you go by and clap, or is he still just playing dad pat?
Do you know what baby Luke was doing as I was galloping cross country? He was sleeping in his stroller. So no, not quite. Didn't really notice me.
Well, I'm glad you got to do that and have a fun birthday. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We weren't here Friday,
you know,
so I couldn't give you a happy birthday then. So I had to wait until after.
I know. My birthday's been on a weekend the last couple years, and so you usually do it on Friday and on Monday. So, so thanks. We didn't do a show Friday, so I appreciate it.
No problem.
So being at the horse show this weekend, it was the last ever horse show for Grass Ridge, which is down in Sonoyta, which is just about a mile north of Mexico. I guess the kids don't want to continue it, and the parents were the ones that put it on. I don't quite understand the whole story, but it was the last one. So there was some good turnout, and James and Taryn Atkinson from California, they own Copper Meadows, they drove all the way there. So that had to be like a 10-hour drive for them. And James had two horses in the open training and one horse in the prelim. And he gets my daily whinny because he won the prelim division. And then he came in second place in open training, but he only came in second place because he also came in first place in the open training. So, like, he beat himself. So the guy had a pretty darn good weekend. So I had to give him my daily whinny to come in first, and second, and only get beat by yourself. It is pretty impressive.
Well, that's great. Terrific.
Yeah.
And they've been on the show before several times, so we're
yes,
always rooting
have.
For them.
They're the ones that when you go to Copper Meadows, you know, like the competitors' party is kind of an open bar, and that is always dangerous. So we're about to leave, and he's like, good job, Jamie, good job. And he's got this plastic container of Sunny Delight, and he's like, good job, Jamie, here, have some Sunny D. And I was like, uh-oh. And I took a sip, and it was literally 5% Sunny D and 95% vodka. And I was like, woo! I literally got in the car drunk. I was like, I have one sip. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that was going to be that potent. Chad's like, are you okay? I'm like, don't ask. Don't ask.
I think eventers have the wildest competitor parties of any discipline, don't you? Well, now the jumpers do too, but the eventers seem to do it very well. Let's just say.
Yeah, and some horse trials do it better than others. Copper Meadows has good ones, but yeah, Sonoyta Grass Ridge no more. So we lost one more event in Arizona, which just means that now I still have to drive 6 to 8 hours to compete somewhere. We have one horse trial a year that is 2 hours away, and all the rest are in California or New Mexico or Colorado. I can't stand it. Sucks.
Well, there were a lot of listeners commenting on your Facebook page about the show. So tell us about the show. Let's hear about it right away. Oh, I have a video to watch tonight, too. I got to bring that up.
It started out with dressage, and, you know, I didn't ride till last, almost. Because
you were riding Edward.
Yeah, right? I was riding Edward, my little off-the-track guy. This is his second time ever being out at a horse trial. And he raced for a very long time. He raced until he was 8, and he probably raced about 100-plus times. So it has been very difficult to get him down from that and to let him understand that he has a new job, because he also used to get in the trailer and go to the track every morning. They didn't keep him at the track. So getting him in the trailer and taking him somewhere, he thought he was going to the track. So it's been a big challenge, but I got him into dressage, and he actually did fairly well. He was a little tense, but not terribly bad. And then we did show jumping almost immediately after that. I went and changed tack and went up. And I must tell you that as I was going in for show jumping, he was like, he wouldn't go in the gate. Like, he's like, I don't want to leave the group. This is scary. But I got him in the gate, and he was one of only three double clear show jumping rounds of the whole thing. It's not pretty, but by God, we did it. I was so incredibly proud of him. And one of the coolest things about the entire weekend, Glenn, was Sonoyta, where I was, is about an hour south of Tucson, Arizona. And if you recall, Tucson is actually where I got Edward. And I got him from this really nice family. They, you know, they kept him in their backyard, took him to the track every day, raced him, loved him. When I bought him, they showed me, you know, videos and winner circles photos. And they loved this horse. So I actually called them and told them I was competing him about, you know, an hour south of where they were, and they came to watch.
Oh, really? Oh, how cool was that?
It was the coolest thing. It was like when I came out, they were, it's a nice couple, Joe and his wife named Happy, and they were standing by the ring, and they watched every bit of it. They watched my show jumping. You know, he's a race guy. When I came out of dressage, he's like, I don't know what I'm looking at, but you look like the classiest pair out there. You know, and they love him, and they were taking pictures with him, and they were so pleased. You know, they're the guys that he retired sound, and he himself listed, you know, called Cantor and put him on Cantor. It was one of the trainer listings on Cantor. So he really, you know, he said that all his friends were like, why are you not continuing to race this horse? He's still sound, you know, and they wanted him to go somewhere where he'd get retrained. And so I was really, really, really happy to see them again. And they were so thrilled that he was doing well. And to have a double clear round when everybody else either, do you know, over 10% of the riders at the whole horse trial fell off. 10%, that's
really?
A big number. It's
that's
a really
big number.
Hard. Yeah, it's a really hard cross-country course and really hard show jumping. Like, the girl two in front of me fell off and had to be carted out in an ambulance. So it's like...
Oh, and that always holds up the show because they have to wait for the ambulance to come back or get a second one.
40 minutes, Glenn, we had to wait.
I mean,
and
I feel
I've
bad for her, but
up.
It does hold up the show.
Yeah, she's fine. She was back that night, but I'm like... You know, so we all had to stand around, and Edward actually, that was one of the biggest challenges, was getting him to stand still, and he actually kind of stood still for a little while. It was really nice. But then we go out yesterday for cross country. It's my birthday. I used to get super nervous on Jet. I'm actually excited with Edward because it's a challenge, but he's not, you know, he doesn't buck. He doesn't do anything that's mean. He's just scared. He is so scared of everything. For being a horse, like, I just think when he raced, he just, like, if something bothered him, he just ran away. And usually, hopefully, that was towards the finish line. Edward has just a little bit of a mental issue where certain things scare him. And it happened at Copper Meadows, and it clearly happened in the video that I've sent you. This is my husband videoing me coming down the hill to jump some jumps. And there's a big hump jump where, you know, the prelim riders go up and jump off of it. So a lot of people like to go to that jump and stand on top of it because you can see a very good, almost 90% of the cross-country course you can see from standing on top of this. Well, Edward had to gallop
Which
by it.
Which is a true luxury at a cross-country, by the way.
Yes,
yeah.
It is.
Okay,
Edward
I started watching
the
video.
All
okay,
right,
the
I'm
starting
audio,
to watch the video.
You can't hear it because Chad's actually saying, oh, that's our horse. That's the one. See how he's going sideways?
I was just going to comment on the fact that coming down the hill, you seem to be going. Isn't it more efficient to run forward than sideways?
Yeah. When you're spooking at everything to the left and right of you, it's we were lucky to be squeezing forward, okay?
You know, this is one advantage to driving because with the harness and the shafts, they can't go sideways. So
and blinkers,
it is one of these.
Right? I need blinkers.
Let's see here. Okay, we're continuing. Oh, and now we're stopping. Oh, now he's spooking. And I got to tell you something. You know, I give you credit for your riding, but your training might lack a little.
I don't think anything else. I mean, it would have taken somebody who really loved this horse to be able to get this horse through cross country. He was scared
of
everything.
He
did.
He even jumped the jump sideways.
We didn't have any stops, but he came galloping down the hill. For those who aren't watching the video, and we're cantering down the hill sideways. Bless his little heart, because everything was very scary. And the problem is he doesn't understand his job, and he will. He'll get much better, and he's. But he's not looking for the fence yet. They make a transformation where they're out there and they're looking at everything to like, oh, I get it. I'm looking for the next fence that we're going to go attack. Well, Edward's still in the phase of like, oh, my God, I'm in a field and I'm galloping and I'm not racing, but I don't understand. There's these things in my way. You know, like, how do I get around them? Like, he doesn't get it at all. So we're galloping down the hill or sideways kind of down the hill to the next jump. And he sees the people on the hill. And he stops. Like, we're supposed to, like, the time is ticking away, and he stops.
And he's like, I don't want to go any further. And you can see him like his thought, can I just go back? Can I go back? And he's like, he kind of starts running backwards and he runs sideways. And I'm like, come on, buddy, we're going to the next jump. And I try to be very positive with my voice, but you know, inside I'm like, go, you know, I'm like, oh, it's okay. We're just going to the next jump. You're fine. And so we ended up trotting over the next jump. I did get him to it, and I did end up with, I was about 30 seconds late. Let me just point out that I was a little bit late because of our stopping in the middle of cross country. But the commentary on the video is my husband going, that's the one. Yeah, that's him. See how he's running sideways? Yeah, that's him. The other guy, and the guy standing next to him is like, wow, he really is running sideways. Said, yeah, that's our horse.
He really was running sideways.
Thanks, husband. That's so kind of you. So,
well, as I said, you know, your riding ability is really comes across here. The fact that you stay on these horses is amazing.
You know what? Chad's like, when are you going to ride a horse that's, like, super fun and nice? I'm like, they get like that. They will. He will. He'll get super fun and nice. And
yeah,
I
when,
also
when
said,
you cough up 50 grand for me to buy one.
Exactly what I said. I said, you know what? We got this horse for $900. I'm like, we could spend $25,000 and get something that I just kick around on and don't worry about. I'm like, you want that? He's like, okay, fine. Whatever. Hope you're having fun.
$900. Oh, Edward sideways is looking really good.
Yeah. Oh, I like that sideways movement. You know, like somebody asked me when he came off cross country, he was, you know, clearly very amped up. And somebody's like, how'd it go? I'm like, well, we're still working on our pee off. Because he was literally like trotting in place, head straight up in the air. You know, this is beginner novice, and I bring my horse home lathered. He is lathered in sweat, and it's just one little beginner novice course. And he was a racehorse, but he just works so hard at it. So anyway, bless his little heart. He will figure it out, and he will get better. But it wasn't our weekend for that. But you know what? It was a learning experience. So I'm very pleased with how it went. And you know, like a week ago, Chad asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, I want to win a ribbon. And I did. We won a ribbon. By God, seventh place. Even though it should have been sixth.
And I'll tell you what, you did, I mean, you stayed on. You weren't the girl in the ambulance, so that's good, right? I mean, that is a real positive. You weren't holding up the show for 40 minutes because you took a ride. So that's positive. You weren't one of that 10%. The fact that you stay on these horses that you've ridden in the last couple of years at all in cross country is amazing.
It's Velcro. I have really nice tack is what I think it comes down to. It's like, I have really nice tack. But I must give an honorable mention to my student, Rachel, who she keeps her pony, Jacob, at our house. And she came to the horse trial, too. And Jacob is a fantastic little jumper, but every once in a while he stops. He just kind of, he's a pony, and he'll get out there and like, he's like fence five. Yeah, no, I'm not going to jump that. And he'll literally be galloping as fast as he can and slam on the brakes in front of it. So I told her when she was running cross country, I'm like, first of all, you get in front of the jump, about five strides out, hit him. And then you get in front of the jump, hit him. Like, I tap him on the shoulder with your crop, you know, and she's, and so, and I'm like, just go, you know, she was in contention to win and all that. So I'm like, you want to really go fast if you want to, you know, not have any time penalties. Well, as she heads out on course, she took my advice to heart and she was flying. And I heard the announcer say, and there goes Rachel Lee and Jacob's ladder going as fast as a little pony's legs can possibly go. She flew around that course. He did stop once, and she still been, when she came across the finish line, I was waiting for her, and I was like, how was your time? She still had 20 seconds ticking down on her watch. I'm like, okay, I think you went fast enough. I think we need to work on slowing down a little bit. But I was so happy for her. Even with a stop, she was 20. I mean, she was, that little pony was running his little heart out. And to see a pony come across the finish line, like they just finished the Kentucky Derby, it was awesome.
That's so cute. And it's funny. It is fun to watch the ponies go in cross country. It really is, because sometimes, you know, they jump a little different, and just the jumping styles for ponies when they try and get over the jumps, it's just so cute. Everything's cute about it. Yeah.
Thinking cute.
Well,
I'll post
some
pictures later of me. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I feel for Chad, because I was Chad 25 years ago, watching the wife with the wacky horses try and ride cross country, and then standing around, you know, beside the guy whose wife is riding the $25,000 horse who looks great riding cross country. So I was Chad. I know exactly. I have to listen back to the. I wasn't able to listen to him talking. I'm going to have to listen back because I was there. I did that.
Yeah, I gave you the abbreviated version on that video too. There's a lot more chit chat about the horse going sideways. So I gave you just the minimal, but it went on for a while from the people standing around him. Oh wow, he's sideways. Yeah, that's what he does. He goes, he will straighten out when he runs away with her though. I was like, what? Thank you, honey. That's so supportive. Now.
At least he wasn't the one standing there saying, where is Jennifer going? I think that's off course. I didn't see any of the other riders go that direction. And then he's standing there going, she's in the farmer's field next door. Why is she over there? So you didn't have that. Sorry,
no,
Jennifer.
We did not have that. No, we did not. Jennifer, I love you. Where is she going? That's hysterical. Now, you did something pretty amazing this weekend, too.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we had fun over the weekend. We went met some of our long, long time. Matter of fact, they were boarders of ours 25 years ago. At a first farm we had, they were boarders, and we've been friends ever since. We travel with them almost every year we go someplace. And we've gone to Disney with them before, and she's a big Disney fan. He not so much. But she wanted to come down, and they had 2 million points built up on their frequent traveler points. So they had a couple of rooms at the Hilton. We stayed down at Disney and had a good time over the weekend. We did Food and Wine on Friday and ate our way through Epcot Center for the second time, and that was fun. We didn't have any bad food. Everything we picked on Friday was good. And then Saturday we spent about 8 hours with about a million of our friends at Magic Kingdom. The place was Christmas time packed. I don't know what it was. It was as busy as, it's probably in the top five busiest Jennifer and I have ever seen it. You couldn't walk. It was amazingly packed. I don't know why. I don't know what was going on. I don't know who had vacations or what around the world, but it was packed. And then Sunday, so we decided not to go to the parks on Sunday because it was so busy. We were going to go to Harry Potter World over at Universal, but another friend of ours was there, texted us at 8 o'clock in the morning and said, the place just opened and the line is already an hour to Harry Potter. And we were like, within 5 minutes of opening, the line was an hour. So it was like, okay,
people
we're not doing that.
The gates opened and they were running.
They run. Literally do run to the back of the park. And Harry Potter is at the very back of the park. So you'll see people running to the back of the park. So we said, heck with that. We were like, well, what are we going to do? And I was talking to Bob, and I said, you know, I always wanted to do the helicopter ride over Disney. You know, I'd never done that before. And so it's been on my bucket list to do. So we did. We went to the one helicopter place. Now, Bob, my friend, is a pilot. He flies small planes. Not like Chad. He flies small planes, prop jobs and stuff. So I've gone up with him lots in his planes over the years. And so we went over and we did the 20-minute helicopter ride over. It went over Universal and Disney and it went over Orlando. And it was really cool. I mean, it was really cool to see everything from the air. It was an absolutely beautiful day, not a cloud in the sky, like 72 degrees, just perfect day. And they're allowed to fly pretty low. They can fly at like 500 feet, so you really can see everything. So we could see the parks. We could see how crowded they were. We saw this. You'd love this. We flew over SeaWorld and actually saw the whales in the tank.
Oh, my gosh.
We could see the whales from up there and the dolphins. We could see the dolphins from the air, so that was pretty neat. And the one thing I discovered at SeaWorld and the water parks that are all there is there is a huge amount of water processing equipment that you don't see behind the scenes. Tanks and tanks, like 30 tanks, and all the pipes and everything that you see to process that water. There's just a huge amount of it behind the scenes. So that was pretty cool.
Wow.
I recommend that to anybody. If you can go there and you can afford to do it, it is well worth doing. It's just a lot of fun to see it from the air. And we had a cool pilot. He was a neat guy. He's been flying those tours for 22 years.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about Groundhog Day.
And saying the same thing. Oh, there's Disney. There's, you know, Magic Kingdom. There, 22 years he's been doing that route. So I felt pretty safe.
You know, he's making a lot of money if he's like 22 years of that. Same thing every day. You know what? I'll just keep cashing in. Thank you very much. That's awesome, though. What a fun. I didn't even know they did that. How did you even know that they did helicopter rides over the parks?
You see the helicopters going over all the time when you're at the parks. You'll see one go over every 10 minutes because there's a couple of these services that do it. We just happened to pick this one because we drove by it, and they have a helicopter out front, so we picked that one. And it happened that it was a brand-new helicopter, only a month old. It even smelled like a new car inside. I said, ooh, it has a new helicopter smell. And it did. It smelled brand-new. By the way, $500,000 for one of those puppies to take people for rides. And every 2,000 miles, it gets about a $10,000 overhaul. So, or 2,000 hours, it needs an overhaul for about 10 grand. So it isn't cheap running those. And that's why you will pay $100 for 20 minutes in the air. But it is worth it. It was fun. Fun thing
now,
to do.
Did you realize, couple things, that the parking lots were actually bigger than the parks, and the people, how many people there were, like how there's actually no extra space? Was it that crowded? Were you like, oh, we should go over there because there's nobody over there?
Well, I did. You know, we did look at SeaWorld wasn't as busy as the others. And then, you know, when we got over, we flew over Epcot. That was getting busy. You know, when we flew over Epcot. But, yes, the parking lots are huge. The parking lots are huge. There's no question about that from the air. And, you know, I was amazed at the number of pools. There's pools everywhere. There's pools everywhere because you see all the hotel pools and you see all the backyard pools. There's just pools everywhere. Everybody's got pools. It's a big pool.
Well, that's
there's
really
some big
fun. Pools
in these hotels.
Did Jennifer fly in the helicopter? You keep saying me.
No.
Yeah. Is that not something Jennifer does?
Bob and I did that. Jennifer would not get in the helicopter. No. And Melinda wouldn't get. They were not getting in the helicopter.
You know who else won't get in the helicopter?
They went to Downtown Disney, and then we met them over there, and that place was crazy. Disney just a license to print money because Downtown Disney, all it is shopping and food. And they have the T-Rex, which is the – have you ever been to Rainforest Cafe? It's sort of like that, only dinosaurs. The line was 2 hours long. 2 hours to get into T-Rex.
Lord.
The place was – everything was mobbed. It's just a license to print money. And that's all just shopping and food. That's the only reason people go there. And they were buying bags and bags and bags. And Jennifer has to post a picture. We got to tell her about – Jennifer had a little fun. You got to tell her what you did, and then we'll post the picture. Jennifer?
Well, there's a Lego store at Downtown Disney, and it is also known as the Germ Factory, but we risked it, and we went in, and there's a little place in the middle where you can make your own custom Lego person, and they have all the little tiny parts. You pick a head, and you pick a body, and you pick all the little different parts. So I made the Hit 'em crew in Legos.
So she made all three of us.
Nice! You made me in Legoland? In Lego human? Did you get a picture of my
Lego avatar?
So she's going to take a picture. They're pretty small, so we have to. They're about an inch high, so we have to get a good picture and post it on. We'll post it on our Facebook page of the Hit'em crew in Legos.
Oh, how funny. That's so cool. I've never been a Lego person. And by the way, Jennifer, since you're on here, thank you for posting the video. Go, Edward. No, really. Go. That's her caption, Glenn. Go, Edward. No, really, Edward. Go. So, yes, that's my dear sweethearts. But that's so cool you guys did that. Now, Jennifer, I think you're smart because my fighter pilot husband won't get in a helicopter. No chance.
Really?
He says, yeah. He's like, if something happens with the mechanics of a plane, I can glide down to the ground. He goes, helicopter, something happens mechanically, you drop.
It's true. That is true. You know, the pilot that we had actually was a stunt pilot. He in jets. And I asked him, I said, does anybody ever get sick in the helicopter? Because, you know, it's a little bit bumpy and it's a little rattly, even the new ones. And he said, no. He said, in all the 22 years I've been doing this, I've only ever had two people get sick. But he said, I used to fly a jet and do stunts. And when I take people up, 90% of them got sick. He said,
wow.
I knew they were getting sick. So yeah. I said, ooh, yeah. I said, well, don't do any stunts in the helicopter. That's okay. We can just fly.
Yeah. I love your pictures from the helicopter. It's really, really cool.
Really cool. Yeah. You know what was funny is we came across a couple little flocks of birds that were flying at our height. And the helicopter pilot went to the left and the birds went to the right both times. And I said, is that like a rule? The birds know that they go right and left and we go left or what? And he said, I don't know. We just figured out years ago that the birds will always go the same direction and we go the other way. And it works out great. So
no kidding.
I don't know, there must be a school for birds on how to avoid helicopters.
A traffic school for birds. All right,
yep.
Children, sit down.
All right, let's hear from our sponsor, Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're going to talk a little Breeders' Cup, our first look at it. And, of course, Jamie's getting excited because she's going to be sitting her butt down and watching it.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters, Chill Ultra Paste with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium, and Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
In line for America's richest horse race, they're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Game On Dude had a good start this year. He is up and on the pace. Moreno's fast early, and Mucho Macho Man and Fort Larned are close too. Then it's Declaration of War, Painter, Planter will take charge on the far outside. Palace Malice flat out, and Last Gunfighter as they go by us the first time. And Moreno is the leader, and Fort Larned and Game On Dude are right alongside. And they ran the first quarter in 23 2/5 seconds. It's a decent pace, and these three are across the track into the clubhouse turn. And then it's Declaration of War just to the inside of Mucho Macho Man, who's in fifth. Three lengths to make up for Mucho Macho Man. Then Punter to the outside of Painter. Palace Malice will take charge. It's only five lengths off the lead. The pace appears to be slowing, and the pack is closing in. Flat Out is next, and Last Gunfighter is only 10 from the top as they run up the backstretch of 46 1/2 mile. Fort Larned, last year's winner, on top on the outside of Moreno. Mike Smith and the Dude, third on the outside. Then Declaration of War and Mucho Macho Man will take charge. Punter between horses. Painter is on the rail, five lengths off the lead. Palace Malice and Flat Out are next. And Last Gunfighter is the trailer. And they went 3/4 mile in 1:10-1. And Fort Larned is the leader. And Game On Dude and Mucho Macho Man are alongside. And Palace Malice comes on too. Declaration of War is in it. Moreno has given way. We'll take charge and Flat Out are next. And Mucho Macho Man has taken the lead as they come to the top of the stretch. Game On Dude is all out. Cutting the corner is Fort Larned. Will take charge. Declaration of War coming to a furlong to run. Mucho Macho Man. Declaration of War. Fort Larned on the inside. Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man. Declaration of War. Will take charge of final man. Mucho Macho Man. He did it over. Will take charge. The Declaration of War in a thrilling Classic.
Oh, God, what an exciting race that was. And that was our boy Mucho Macho Man. Of course, we've been following him since before he ran in the Kentucky Derby, talking to his owners, Dean and Patty Reeves.
on the show 100 times, and it just couldn't have been more excited for them. And we are so excited to welcome a new guest, Marianne Alfieri, who Marianne is the host of Talk of the Track, phillyracing.com, and the blog talkofthetrack.com. And she's going to come on and give us a little Breeders' Cup preview. Good morning, Marianne.
Good morning, Jamie and Glenn. I'm sitting here, I have tears in my eyes listening to the replay of Mucho Macho Man's Breeders' Cup Classic last year. I'm on the committee for an organization called Captain, which is a youth and family services organization here in Saratoga County, New York. And every year we honor horses, and this year we honored Wise Dan and Mucho Macho Man at our annual gala in July. And we've been planning like all year, and Patty Reeves was absolutely precious. She was so wonderful. She and Dean came to the party and got all their friends to come, and they were so humble and sweet. And so I just love Mucho Macho Man anyway, but his connections, as you said, are just extraordinary humans. And I was sitting here listening to the replay crying, thinking, oh, God, don't let them hear me choking when I when I call in. So anyway, hi. And, yes, we're all excited about the Breeders' Cup here.
You know what? I actually saw pictures that you posted from that night, because there's I can have a bigger crush on anybody but Wise Dan. I mean, I love him. And it was when I saw the pictures of you and Patty Reeves out on the dance floor, you know, drinks in hand, cutting a rug.
Oh God, no. People saw that? Oh my God.
Yeah.
She was up there dancing with Gary Contessa, and I was sitting and just enjoying watching, as they say. And Gary crooked his finger at me, and I looked around behind me to see to whom he was crooking, and he said, no, you. So I get up there, and Patty actually said to me, shake your moneymaker, baby. And and two nights later, I was out with Kelly Woodham, who is a force with the Reeves on the Georgia Horse Racing Coalition. We went to dinner in Saratoga, and I dropped her off at her hotel. And as I was driving away, Patty sent a text to the two of us and said, I'm at the Polo Club. Come dance with me. She got dancing fever while she was in Saratoga. Patty's awesome. I'm so glad.
And
I'm horrified to think of that picture's on the internet, but I forgot I put that up there. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was just saying, I actually talked to her about that, and I said, congratulations, saw some pictures of you having fun on the dance floor, because we talked to her a couple days after that. It was really, really fun. So they're great people. Anyway, Marianne, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background with horses and horse racing.
In a nutshell, I'm 58 years old. I was first parked on the back of a horse when I was 6 months old. When I was 4, I started riding quarter horses on my cousin's farm. I mean, it was just me, the horse, and a Western saddle tearing off through the woods. And I spent the majority of my childhood riding quarter horses and an occasional Morgan that my cousin acquired. That same year, my mother first took me to Saratoga Race Course, and because she loved horse racing. And then when I was 9, Green Mountain Park, which, God rest its soul, a moment of silence, please, which was in Vermont, actually. So between those two racetracks, I grew up in horse racing. My mother and grandmother reared me, and neither one of them cared anything about football or basketball. They were horse racing fanatics. And I'd see my mother carefully place her 50-cent bets, and I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I've been a lifelong fan, basically. And 11 years ago, was it 11 years ago, through a really cool story that's too long for this time slot. Penny Chinnery opened up the doors for me after I had realized that my vocation was as a horse racing writer. I was 47 and I'd been a freelance writer for about 20 years and working all kinds of miserable secretary's jobs. Discovered that I was supposed to put my talents to use in racing specifically. I thought, you can actually make a living doing something you love. And
right.
Penny opened that door, and so for 11 years I've been involved as a writer and editor, occasional radio show host, just built, finally got phillyracing.com online, through which we're doing some exciting stuff, and have some media plans for the next year and a half. And so that's what I do. You know, people, I'm so, I want, if you were here, I would kiss you. at least on the cheek, to thank you for not calling me a journalist. Journalists and reporters have really hard jobs, and I'm too old to work that hard. Journalism requires things like citing of, you know, journalists are supposed to be objective, and I absolutely can't do that. And they're supposed to cite sources and sources. I did one piece of journalism in my life. That was in 2008 when I wrote a horse slaughter piece. And I spent most of my time crying hysterically because I, tracking down sources, getting quotes, you know, don't want to do it wrong, want to try to be objective, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not a journalist or a reporter because their work is just way too hard. I am a pundit. That's basically, I think that's my role. Is everybody has to have a pebble in their shoe now and then to aggravate them. And that's what I do. I'm a horse racing pundit.
Gotcha. The pebble in the shoe thing is good because, yeah, you are very, you're very direct and you're very emotional, and that is kind of a breath of fresh air when you talk about horse racing. So I appreciated it, and that's why I wanted to have you on to kind of give us your take on the Breeders' Cup that's this year. You know, I know you're a huge fan, and I just got tickets to go. I'm sitting in the farthest away seats from the actual finish line. I'm in the very back corner. I should be able to maybe look around the pole and see the finish line through binoculars, but that's okay. You got to do what you got to do.
Very similar seats in big races myself. I understand that completely.
Yeah. Exactly. So I just kind of wanted you to paint a picture of what we may see. You know, I was very excited to finally see Wise Dan run. And now I'm just heartbroken that he's not going to run this year,
I understand. I'm sorry. Go ahead, dear.
No. I'm just sad he's not going to run, and I'm glad that the people that take care of him recognize that he had a little tiny bit of swelling, and they know every inch of that horse, and they're doing the thing that's best for him. But I'm sad he's not going to be there. But tell me a little bit about who I am going to see.
Well, you know, I was I've been looking over every race. And I know that this is probably not the popular thing to say, but the race that's really going to excite me the most is the Distaff on Friday. And the reason for that is that here on Friday, August 22nd, in the Personal Ensign, Close Hatches was a monster. And she won by, I believe it was 5.5 lengths. And the Personal Ensign is the same distance as the Distaff, which is 1 1/8 miles. And that track was so muddy. It had poured the day before and the night before. Naira did their level best to seal the track. But it was just like when I was a little girl and I used to make mud pies. It was just horrible. And Close Hatches, right from the gate, she took a 2.5 length lead over the other horses, which included Princess of Silmar, whom I love. But at the turn, she was 5.5 lengths ahead of the other girls, and they just couldn't cut it. That was at the home turn. So I'm really excited because it's very sad that Beholder just dropped out of the Distaff, and it looks like Untappable, I never know how to pronounce that, is probably going to be the Morning Line favorite. But I think Close Hatches is going to be the horse to watch. I think she's an extraordinary horse who's been underestimated for whatever reason. But that's the race that excites me the most right now. Did I talk too much?
No. I'm trying to follow all of this and write down who I'm going to bet on, because, I mean, clearly you know what you're talking about, so I'm going to have to make some picks. So in the Distaff, we're looking at, and say the name again?
Close Hatches.
Close Hatches. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
And now, go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead.
Tell me about another race that we have coming up, too.
Well, of course, the Breeders' Cup Classic, 1.25 miles. It's so hard to pick who's going to win that race. I mean, last year, of course, our beloved Mucho Macho Man won it. And, you know, it's interesting. I remember years ago on a Travers Day, my friend, the late, great Claire Conley, who was a fan, she's been a fan of racing since she was 15 in 1948 when Citation won the Triple Crown. Claire was the consummate handicapper, and she said, you know, it doesn't pay to try to a handicap on big race days like this. She said there's something in the air. The horses catch the excitement. You know, a horse is not supposed to win does. That she said, mm-hmm. you know, if you're looking to win money, you know, bet on another racetrack on the other side of the earth that's not having a big race. So that's why, you know, looking at the Breeders' Cup Classic, $5 million, and the horses who have won it are all wonderful. I mean, Mucho Macho Man is amazing. Zenyatta in 2009, Blame in 2010, whom I love.
No, we don't talk about Blame on this horse show, this radio show.
No,
don't mention
no,
him.
No.
I
no,
love
he's not allowed to talk about Blame. Don't get her started.
Well, we
gotta
go.
Started,
we gotta go. We're losing. You're breaking up.
Sorry. Okay. We'll talk about this year's Breeders' Cup Classic then. You know. Okay. And now, if I say something even vaguely negative or vaguely not worshipful of California Chrome, are you gonna hang up on me?
No, God, no.
Okay. We said it.
Strom's a nice horse. He's not Secretariat. No, I mean, this year, you know, I was at the Belmont Stakes, of course. It's an annual ritual. I spent the whole week down there the week before. And, you know, it always makes me nervous when people say he's going to do it. And it's like, no, don't condemn him. Don't do that. And if I heard one more person say, California Chrome is Secretariat reincarnated, I was going to hurl because nobody is Secretariat reincarnated. And, you know, Penny Tennery would be way too modest to say that. But Chrome's a nice horse. And the poor thing, God bless him, he had an injury on Belmont Stakes Day, which was just awful. But then, of course, the chromophiles, I guess we call them, they went
Chromie.
On the Chromies?
Yeah.
The Chromies.
Yes,
went on about if he hadn't hurt himself, he would have killed them all. There's no guarantee of that. You know, Big Sandy is called Big Sandy for a reason. And even though Santa Anita doesn't have the quicksand reputation that Big Sandy has, I just don't know that Chrome has it to go up against Shared Belief or Toast of New York. I mean, Toast of New York is a really good horse, but underrated. I just don't know that Chrome has the stuff to do it. And
yeah.
And I know that the you know, the course of race being run in California, that's where his fan base is, you know, the center of his fan base. And you're probably going to see more purple and green than you'll see in the next year. But and he's a nice horse. I never wanted anybody to think I'm putting down a horse because I love all horses. I love all equines. I hug zebras. But he's a nice horse, but I just don't think he has a, you know, because one of the factors about which people forget with any big race, and this was Roy Williamson, the head starter for NYRA, said this to me years ago. He said, a factor that people always forget is that, of course, these horses are going full out, and the day of a big race when you have 100,000 people screaming at you, it's deafening. And, in fact, 2 years ago, Roy took me over on Belmont Stakes Day to stand with him when he started the Belmont. And he took me there strictly. He had told me about it the year before when he invited me. He said, when you have 80,000 people screaming at you with, like, a wall of sound, and you can't even think. And that was when he drove it home. It was 2 years ago when I couldn't even hear my own thoughts in my head. There were only 88,000 people at that Belmont Stakes. And so people forget that you have these magnificent horses who are focused. This is what they're born to do. Thoroughbreds are hothouse horses who were created to run, and that's what they do brilliantly. But when you have 100,000 people on one side of you screaming at you, and this is a prey animal, you're going to have some horses get a little more upset than others. And I think that is one of the factors about which people forget. They say he should have done this, he should have done that. He shouldn't have done anything. We're putting a horse in a really unnatural situation and expecting them to perform exquisitely. And that's why I think that when a horse like Mucho Macho Man does win, it's an extraordinary feat because he was able to tune out all that screaming and all that psychic energy coming at him from the stands. And was that a very opinionated thing for me to say or just my evaluation of the situation? So Chrome's a nice horse. I don't know that he can beat Shared Belief, because I still hang on to the idea that last year when Shared Belief was a two-year-old, or was it 2 years ago, he was the fastest two-year-old on Earth. So there you have that.
I got to make my prediction right now. I'm going to predict early, and the entire audience knows who I'm going to pick. It's Tapiture, and that's only because Rosanya Pravnik is riding Tapiture. So if I could bet on the jockey and forget the horse, I'm betting on Rosie. Can I do that? Yep. Can I just go up and say Rosie to win? Will they give me a ticket? I want a special ticket
that just says
Rosie on it. Yeah.
Why would you condemn her with your pick, because we know that your lifetime decisions on these big races, if you pick them, they lose. So
wait a minute. Who picked California Chrome 2 months before the Kentucky Derby this year?
That's true. You did.
I have my hands up.
But he
before
was also the hottest
was talking about him.
Tell everybody why you picked him. Because you liked his story. Because he has a good story.
Yes.
And he does have
that's
a good
right.
story. And
that's
the reason that everybody loved California Chrome. And I love California Chrome. And I think he's a fantastic horse. And he shows a lot of heart. And the only thing that's wrong with California Chrome is that his owner can't shut up. Like, stop talking.
Oh, ain't that the truth? Oh, my God.
I love California Chrome. He's so beautiful, and he's got such heart, and he's just, like, I knew before Belmont, if that horse was on the track, he was going to win. Somehow, some way, he was going to win until the Belmont, and then the talking. Talk, just talk. Nobody's going to win this race. Nobody can do it. And you know what? Maybe you're right. But shut up. Now is not the time. And he just kept going. And I think without him apologizing the next day and then taking a week and a half to apologize and just was too much. Go ahead.
I want to correct you, too. Robin Donahue is pitching in because she just sent me a note and said, you picked, I'll have another, too. I did, if you'll remember right. I picked, I'll have another. Early on, and that, you know, obviously because of the horse's name. So I have done the name thing a couple times. Now I'm doing the cute jockey. So I'm going cute jockey.
Hey, Robin, we don't need your help, Robin. You just keep it down over there.
Well, hey, Glenn, may I tell you something that I also love I'll Have Another. And, in fact, so did Leroy Jolly. I talked to Leroy about 5 days before the Belmont. And before, you know, 4 days before, I'll Have Another scratch. And Leroy said to me, so what do you think about this horse, I'll Have Another? I said, well, I think that your opinion is a lot more important than mine. And so he said, I think he's got the stuff to do it. He said, I really do think that he can win the Triple Crown. So you were in good company, Glenn, because if the likes of Leroy Jolly assess the horse, he said he'd had a chance to lay his hands on the horse and get to know him. So you're in good company with that.
Okay, well, Marion, I got to ask you, who is Leroy Jolly?
Oh, who is Leroy Jolly? Leroy Jolly won the Kentucky Derby in 1975 with Foolish Pleasure and 1980 with Genuine Risk. He is a brilliant Hall of Fame trainer who got his trainer's license, I believe it was 1958 or 9. He's been around forever, and he was painted in a really bad light, unfortunately, in the lousy movie about Ruffian that was out about 8 years ago. And he's nothing like that character that Bill Mack painted. Leroy's a brilliant, brilliant trainer. And Genuine Risk, of course, one of the few fillies who ever won the Kentucky Derby. She just rocked it. And he's awesome. Leroy's amazing. So
okay, well, so let's get just your Breeders' Cup Classic pick. Obviously, you're not picking California Chrome. Give us the name, because we're going to put you on our list of picks that we take, and then we always kind of, you know, whoever wins, usually me, has bragging rights in the day after.
It makes me want to hurl, because, you know, when people ask me all the time, you know, who are you picking? And I always say I rarely bet because I know better. The thing is, I don't usually bet on a horse unless I've kissed them. I have to have a physical, I have to actually have an eyeball-to-eyeball contact, and I have never kissed any of the horses who are in the Breeders' Cup Classic, but I have to go with Shared Belief.
Okay. Shared Belief.
Yep.
She hasn't French kissed him or anything, but that's her pick.
even though she hasn't kissed his nose.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I've already come out and said Tapiture, so I'm on for Rosie. Now, if Rosie switches horses, I'll be switching horses. So I just want to make that clear.
No, trust me, we've been stalking her for years. Can't get her on the show because she's riding right now. So it's been tough. Jennifer has been chasing her down for years. But if you can do us any favors, that'd be great. It would just be fun to listen to Glenn stutter over his own words trying to talk to her on an interview.
And if you can get Carrie Underwood, we've been trying that for 4 years and have had no luck. So Carrie Underwood would be good if you could get her too. Yeah.
Carrie Underwood.
Well, Marion.
One horse we ride.
Yeah, exactly. Who's that?
She rides the $1 million horse.
All the way to the bank. Marion, your website is talkofthetrack.com and also phillyracing.com. And unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you so much for coming on and talking racing with us and explaining stuff, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, Jamie and Glenn, it has been so much fun hanging out with you guys. I wish you both luck on Breeders' Cup Day, but not as much luck as I wish Shared Belief. Thank
you.
I don't like Chrome. He's just not Shared Belief in my mind. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you as a Chromie. You guys are great. Thank you so much. This has been a blast.
Thank you, Marion.
God bless.
Thanks, Marion.
All right, well, that was our first look. We're not going to be doing Breeders' Cup every day here, but we will be taking a look at it off and on over the next 2 weeks. And if you're heading out Friday or Saturday, are you going both days or just the one day?
You know, just to give you a little background, my sister and brother-in-law live in Los Angeles, and that's where Santa Anita Racetrack is. So we are actually going to go on Friday morning and try to get there in the afternoon because Lucas is going to get to trick-or-treat with his cousins. So he's going to get all dressed up because that Friday's Halloween.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So he's going to do his trick-or-treat thing? Cool.
Yes, we're going to trick-or-treat with cousins and then go to the Breeders' Cup the next day.
Which means he gets all that candy you're not going to let him have, and you're going to eat it on Breeders' Cup Day.
Exactly. That's how we roll. He can have he's now allowed to have Dum Dum lollipops. That's it, though. And he can't walk around with them. Sit down and
eat. So that means all of the Kit Kat bars and all of that, the little Snickers and the little Reese's are going to be yours and Chad's for Breeders' Cup Day.
They went missing. I don't know where they are, Lucky. I don't know. Did you lose them?
All right, let's take a little break for our sponsor, Easy Signs Online. And then I have a song for you, 14 Miles to Omaha by Jared Rogerson. We're coming back with the Wacky World of Horses with Leslie Wiley. This week's EasySignsOnline.com spotlight product is their New England Style Farm Signs, their most popular line of signs. New England-style farm signs are very durable and designed for long-term outdoor use with no maintenance required, no wood to rot, and no paint to peel. They will outlast the old-style painted wood signs by many, many years. They are available in many sizes, shapes, and styles, which makes them the perfect sign for any farm or business. Go online today and go through the EasySignsOnline.com easy step-by-step ordering process to see all the prices and options available. They also offer free, no-obligation sign proofs on all New England-style signs. And you get free shipping as well on all New England-style signs. So replace your old, worn-out sign and make a great first impression with a new farm sign from EasySignsOnline.com. And the holidays are right around the corner, so it's a terrific gift idea. I can't think of a better one. Visit EasySignsOnline.com.
Got scars, so do I. mostly healed, but left their mark. You've shown me yours, and I promised you in time that I'd walk you through the graveyards in the shadows of my mind. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since Tonopah. This time I'm only passing through. Swear I did so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up if every road I chose led me to you. 14 miles from Omaha. Does me good to hear you on the line. No time to sleep, too much time to think. 'Cause I can see those fields of corn still taste the wine that led to the loss of a whole lot of precious time. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since Tonopah. This time I'm only where I did so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up if every road I chose led me to you. It's where I lost the fire of my youth and someone else's too. But I've carried my cross up a hill to a different point of view. This ledge, a few more days, and I'll be back home. And I'll fix this open wound with one final stitch. But that Missouri River haunts me as I cross this Mormon bridge. I'm 14 miles from Omaha. I haven't slept since Tonopah. Don't worry, I just passed through. Where I did so many things I'm not proud of. I wouldn't trade how it ended up. Every road I chose led me to you. 14 miles from Omaha.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson with 14 Miles to Omaha, and you can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. Jennifer posted the picture of the Lego people that she made for the Hit'em crew. So did you check that out there, Jamie?
I'm currently looking at it. Is that me with the large beer in my hand as a Lego
person?
Yeah,
the large alcohol. Yeah, the large wine glass. That would be you.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Just checking.
Headphones.
I love it.
Jennifer's the
so
one with
cute.
The hammer because she's always fixing everything.
Gotcha. I couldn't tell
that?
What that was.
I'm surprised they actually had headphones. So they had little headphones to put on. That was cute.
Did you have to buy these, Jennifer? Did you just make them and toss them back in the pile? Like, what? How does this work?
Well, unless you sneak them out in your pockets, yes, you have to buy them.
Okay.
They have this little thing, and they have special package for them. You make the three that you want, and you put them in this cute little package, and then you buy them. And it's really cool because if you give them as a gift, it comes in a proper Lego package like it got made in the factory, even though they're customized. Yeah.
Oh, and I
fun.
Thought it was interesting,
awesome.
Though, that of all the things, little trinkets and little things that she could do as add-ons, that she picked the extra large wine glass for you. I thought that was
yes. Yeah. I thought it was beer, but I'll take wine, either one. I drink red, though, so you have to make an adjustment.
It is time. That time of the week.
Courses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Right, it is time for the Wacky World of Horses with Horse Nation. And, of course, we have our very own Leslie Wiley that joins us here every Monday. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Jennifer should have made you a little Lego avatar, too, but it probably would have looked a lot like Jamie.
Either way, same thing.
Yeah, we could substitute those two out. Leslie, before we get started with the Wacky World of Horses, Leslie works for Horse Nation, which is a sister site to Eventing Nation, and Leslie's an eventer, and we have not had a chance to talk about yet this morning about the big news out of the eventing world, and that's Holly Bennett, who we've had on the show here a couple of times. Her famous horse, Gin and Juice, who we've all seen her ride numerous times at Rolex and elsewhere. The owners have decided to pull that horse and give it to a different rider. So we want to know, do you have any inside scoop on this?
I don't. You know, you just never know you never know what goes on behind closed doors. And, I don't know. I think that just it's sad. I think they have so many fans. You know, they were such a good girl power combination. Holly is so sweet, and Jenny is just one of these great, you know, spitfire mares, and I think we were all hoping to see them continue as a partnership for, you know, years to come. But who knows what's in the future for Jenny and
10 years together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time.
Yeah, that's
and,
a long
you know,
time.
And actually, when you think about it, it's kind of a long time to have owners that stick with you that long, too. And you never know what's going on with the owners, whether they're in a situation. Sometimes they want to sell the horse because they actually need to get the money out, and they're done being owners. You know, there's lots of scenarios, but
there's got to be more to it, though, because when you work at a company and the person that was in the cubicle next to you gets fired, you always get the email that comes around company wide and says, "We wish so-and-so all the best in her future endeavors and thank her for her hard work in the past, blah, blah, blah." Well, the statement that they made about letting Holly go, I guess, and firing Holly as Gin and Juice's rider, we are presently in discussion with another top upper-level event trainer to come and work with us at Kingsway. We wish Holly all the best in her future endeavors and thank her for all of her hard work in the past 10 years. She got fired. She got fired. There's some drama there. They're not selling the horse. They're putting it with another trainer. And that is what confuses me. Like, I almost think like every other upper level advanced event trainer should be like, no, we're not going to do it. We're not going to ride it. Because who's going to ride that horse like Holly Bennett did?
Right.
Well, you know, this is a problem. You know, all professional riders want to get to the point. I had this discussion recently with the one I know very well, and she just got to the point that she was able to get an owner to buy her a couple of horses, and she was really torn because you ride your own horses till you get up to a certain level of professionalism, and then you're at the point where you can't afford to do that anymore because the horses you need are more expensive than you can afford. So you end up doing this, but the risk is just this, right? I mean, the risk, and we've seen it with Totalist and a couple of the others recently, this is the risk that you take, but boy, it's a hard risk because you need the owner, yet it's a catch-22.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And I think at this point in their partnership, it's more than just, you know, a horse. It's like, it's yeah. Holly's best friend, you know. And so I mean, it is.
Well, look what Edward Gow with Totalist. He was beside himself. He was shocked, and you know, he was on top of the world. The last thing he thought of was that horse would ever be taken away from him or sold.
Sure.
Which is what happened in that case. But you know, he was heartbroken too, and I can imagine that. You know, after 10 years, it's got to be tough, but boy, it's a risk you take, isn't it?
It is.
I don't know how you overcome that, unless you're rich to begin with. You know, unless you're, a Bloomsburg or, you know, one of those, then then you can do it.
Yeah.
If your dad happens to be a rock star, then you can do it. You know.
Tough.
So.
Well, we wish the horse, and we wish I know that Holly will come back with another one, and it'll be just fine. So she'll be back, and we'll see her at Rolex in no time.
Yep.
Well, let's talk a little lighter here, and we wanted to talk about a couple of things. One was Halloween, which everybody knows that listens to the show is my favorite holiday.
What are you going to be for Halloween this year, Glenn?
Scrooge, apparently. I don't do trick-or-treaters. You know, when we actually lived in a place that had trick-or-treaters, Jennifer had to, and I hid in the house. I just don't like trick-or-treaters. So,
are you scared of the little children and the
I am,
very
I guess.
Scary costumes, Glenn? Oh, no.
I don't do horror
scary.
Movies either, so. Halloween is my least favorite holiday. So anyway, what was this article about?
Okay, so, you know, we love doing quizzes. I love taking quizzes, so it makes sense. So we often have quizzes here on Horse Nation, and over the weekend, Carla Lake posted a quiz, What Should Your Horse Be for Halloween? Kind of a personality quiz. So do you guys want to take it?
Sure, what
yeah,
the heck?
Definitely.
Okay, so you need a pen here so you can keep track
Edward?
Of your answers.
Okay.
Are you doing Edward, Jamie?
Yes, I will do Edward.
I'll do Scooter, and Jennifer's going to do Beaker. We're ready.
Okay, you're ready. Okay, here's the first question. What does your horse think about going on the trail? A, no big deal. He's a steady Eddie. B, sometimes he's fine. Sometimes he likes to take off bolting, bucking, and farting just for fun. C, ew, isn't there mud in there? Princess Pony does not like getting her feet wet. Her toes wet. D, you mean like we're going in the woods? There are lions and tigers and bears in there. E, she calls her buddies in the field as long as they're in earshot, but otherwise she's fine. So,
okay,
mark your answer.
I got mine.
Okay. To,
I did.
To you.
Right.
you're switching your horse's pasture. How does he or she react? A, by minding her own business and focusing on eating. B, by running up to her new pasture mates, ears pinned and teeth bared. C, he tries to touch noses with his new pasture mates, whinnies like a sissy, and then runs back to the gate. D, by getting everyone else in the field all worked up. E, by cribbing. This is my favorite one. By cribbing over and over and over, that will make it all okay.
Okay,
well,
I got
I'm
mine.
I'm a D. Okay, there we go.
Yep.
Okay, three. Fall is here, and with it, rainy, icky weather. What would your horse prefer to do? A, go on a slow, easy bareback ride. Doesn't matter if it's raining cats or dogs on the roof. Not much bothers her. B, lose a shoe in the mud. C, skip the ride in favor of a spa day. Purring, clipping, warm towel face rubs. He knows he's worth it. D, we could go for a ride, but if the shadows have changed or the wind blows wrong, we may end up in the next county. E, weave in his stall like a psych ward patient. I love E. Four, wouldn't want to own E, but it's wildly entertaining. Four, what discipline best suits your horse? A, he's a jack of all trades, but a master of none, but he is a great husband guest horse. B, show jumping. She likes to attack the jump, sometimes quite literally. C, show hunter. She knows how to shine above the rest. D, dressage. We won't talk about what happens when we try to venture out of the arena. E, eventing. He always tries his best. Okay, and then we have a question that doesn't cringe.
Sorry to interrupt, Leslie. It's what discipline best suits your horse? The one that I want my horse to do is not really the one that he best suits him right now. So do I go with what he's best at or what I want him to do?
Oh, that's tough. I think it's what he wants to do. I think it's what your horse wants to do.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. Five is one that's hard to translate over the radio. So it's pictures of which pumpkin fits your horse's personality, and then there's various pumpkins with horse designs carved out of them. So we'll just skip that one and go on down to see what the answers are. What did you guys get? Was it a mix
We have to do the pictures. We have to do the pictures because I know which one PT is.
Okay. Okay, I'll do my best to describe. So A is kind of A is a pretty pumpkin. It's got a nice artistically rendered horse head outline.
Yeah, classic, nice. classic kind of stoic horse. Yep.
Yes. Unlike Pumpkin B looks kind of demonic. The horse looks kind of demonic. Its teeth are bared. Its mane looks
frayed.
A lion mane.
Yeah, when I first looked at it, I almost didn't even see a horse in the picture.
Yeah. It's like
and
it's grinning.
And then there's C. Go ahead, Jamie. Go ahead. My little pony.
Had to do it.
I knew that was coming.
Is a My Little Pony pumpkin.
Yes, that would be the one you were thinking of, wasn't it, Jennifer, for Scooter? That'd be the one, yes. And by the way, I'll have you know, I had already marked C, so I accept who he is. Now you don't even need to do the rest because that's all Jennifer wanted was to get that sound file in there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I have mostly one letter. This is actually a pretty darn accurate quiz if you're trying to kind of keep everything pigeonholed together. I ended up with Jennifer, what did you end up with? Let's go with Beaker because we know he's
Beaker,
a good boy.
Yeah. Quiet, steady Eddie Beaker.
Well, Beaker got mostly A's.
Aww.
Oh, because he's an angel. That's it. That does it, yeah.
Except when Sal has to take care of him for the weekend. Then he's naughty.
Yes, then he's not. No, he was there.
So
that fits him. A's is an angel.
Yes. You already know your pony is an angel on the inside with all the shenanigans he puts up with. Bouncing kids, noisy four-wheelers, your first horse show. He might give a little sigh at how ridiculous human antics are, but Halloween is just one more opportunity for him to show what a saint he is. Aww.
That's Beaker. That fits. That does fit.
Beaker.
And Jamie, what was yours, Edward?
Oh, man, I got bees. Mostly bees. What does that say about my horse?
Well, bees are a devil, by the way. That's the devil. And by the way, I'm there with you, Jamie, because Scooter and Edward apparently could hang out together. Because
there are some horses
bees.
Even God can't help.
Yeah,
there are some horses even God can't help.
What is the devil? Why? I thought he'd be better than that. What happened? What's the devil?
Okay, the devil. Looks like your horse has a little streak of evil buried not so deep down. Maybe she or he passes for normal most of the time, but on Halloween, you should share his or her nightmarish ways with the world. Bonus points for naughty behavior during a horse show costume class.
Yes.
You know, I don't know how Scooter ended up as a devil, but he can be a little devilish, you know. And Steve was My Little Pony, but, you know, it didn't really fit that description you had down there. So,
Glenn, I think you must have answered him wrong because it clearly
My Little Pony. By the way, if you had anything other than that, you can go to horsenation.com if you're playing along at home and see what your horse was. So. Check that out.
I have to tell you about E. E is my favorite, even though my horse isn't an E. Your horse should be a hot dog for Halloween. Your horse is kind of a weirdo, isn't he? The type to poop in his water bucket or get mysteriously stuck in the round bale feeder? We thought so. Let his freak flag fly by getting the most random costume for him you can think of.
Yeah, I like the horse with the hot dog and then the rider's the mustard bottle. That was pretty good.
You know, I do tell you, though, I had mostly B's, which is the, you know, the devil, but I did have a couple D's in my answers. And tell us what the D is, because this, I think, is the most fitting for my horse.
D is a cowardly lion. Well, so cute in the picture. You may not be able to actually get a costume to stay on your spooky horse, but at least Halloween gives you an excuse to do some desensitizing.
Yep. Yeah, the cowardly lion, bless his little heart. Now, Leslie, I do have a video online. Jennifer just posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, and for those who are maybe just joining us, the epic moment on cross country for me this past weekend at Grass Ridge Horse Trials, when my horse, coming down the hill sideways, spots the crowd of people standing on the hill. And the epic moments to follow. I mean, cross country is all about going fast and jumping jumps. And you can see on the video how well he did at that. D is appropriate, the cowardly lion.
Oh, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, good times. Good times.
Yep. Well, that I think that's all we're actually going to have time for there, Leslie. Let's hold the horse movies one till next time.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah, let's check that out. And boy, I got to mention this though. We'll start this week. I thought we'd start with the most read article of the past week and point that out. And boy, you don't want to read this one without a tissue box.
Uh-uh.
Your most read article was. How to Say Goodbye to a Unicorn. It got 80,000 views.
Oh,
my
gosh,
this one. And I read it. I made the mistake of reading it before the show, and I was like,
oh, God, I can't read it. I can't read it. The first line talks about horses crossing the Rainbow Bridge. Turn it off. Make it off.
Yep.
You know,
and 80,000 other horse lovers. Lots of tears flowing this week.
Were you surprised? Because your silly ones get a lot of views, and usually they win the best one of the week. Were you surprised that this one did?
I read it, and I was just weeping. And so I thought it was kind of a long piece, and I always wonder if, you know, I think the typical attention span maybe is limited, but this, I was like, well, if people actually make it to the end of this, it's, you know, their heart is going to be broken in the most beautiful way. So, I wasn't surprised.
And then the pictures, I mean, just everything about the whole thing was well done. And let's give credit to the person who wrote this, too.
Yeah, it was from the blog of Andrea Belair, who's doing this really cool project called the Senior Horse Project, taking photos of elderly horses and the people that love them, and she's actually putting it together into a book that comes out in December. So we'll be keeping an eye out for that for sure.
Well, you can check it out if you want to get your tissues out and have a read. Don't do it, Jamie. Just don't do it, okay?
No, I can't.
Emotional mess on most things. Let's not add to it. Take a look at it. I did read it, and I got that attention span you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I got to the end because once you started, you couldn't stop. And then the pictures and everything, and just like, this is not getting me in a funny mood before the show starts today.
Yep.
It's called How to Say Goodbye to a Unicorn. You'll find it at horsenation.com. Well, thank you, Leslie. Take care.
Sure thing. Have a great week, guys.
All right, see ya.
Bye.
What was it that our guest earlier said about Marion? She said about a pebble in the shoe and all of that.
She likes to be a pebble in the shoe of like a horse, I don't know, reporting or something.
Yes. And I thought you're kind of our pebble in the shoe, you know, opinionated. Wow. And say what you think. And you know, that's good. That's good. You want to be a pebble in the shoe. When you're in radio, that's a good thing.
Glenn, that's why you pay me the big bucks. It's just
right.
to say
and
what
apparently
I think.
That's why you drink so much, according to your Lego avatar.
Oh, you know what's bad is that at one point on Saturday night, Chad and I were sitting outside. We put the baby to bed in the trailer, and we're sitting outside. And you know, I had a bottle of wine sitting out. We had this little table outside our trailer, and then Chad was having some scotch, and I also had this big bottle of like Costco sized vodka bottle that I had out because I had had a drink with some friends earlier. So all these things are sitting on our table. Well, we end up going to bed. Come out the next morning, and of course there were some friends over had a couple beers. So on the table right outside my horse trailer, and the next morning it looked like we had had a frat party. There's bottles of beer on the table. There's an empty bottle of wine tipped over. There's a giant Costco-sized thing of vodka. There's a bottle of scotch. Like, it was like a party went on. And really, it was just Chad and I kind of sitting out having one drink. But it just looked like we had had a frat party. And all we needed was a funnel sitting out there.
Maybe Edward got into the vodka, and that's why he was going sideways across country day.
That's probably what happened. There's only one way to go but up. Come on, Glenn. We're going to get better. We're going to get better, I swear.
As I said, you always impress me that you can stay on these horses. That always amazes me.
Thanks. You know what? Actually,
impressed.
Chad gave me a nice compliment. You know, we have some friends who didn't do so well at the horse trial, and she's sending her horse back to the trainer. And he's like, you know, Jamie, you're the one person who, when you continue to ride horses, you just, and this is kind of an awe moment. It's kind of sweet. He goes, you're the one person I know who, when you ride horses, you make them better. You just, every time you ride them, they get better. And I was thinking, that's so sweet. I know you wish it didn't take so long. Like that's such a nice thing. If it wouldn't take me 3 years to make them better. If I could be like, who is our friend that trains the Mustangs? Alisa Wallace. She gets a horse in one day. It's different. And it takes me 3 freaking years. Seriously. But it was a nice compliment.
Yeah, you probably look at Elisa's page and go, you probably hate Elisa. Looking at her, I was like, oh, man, she's 2 weeks in and she's jumping 6-foot jumps.
I love her and I hate her. Yeah, it's like I look at her and I'm like, God, I should be so much better. What is she drinking? What does she do? How does this work?
Apparently, you just have to get a Mustang or two and go through the training process and then you'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's what I need to do. Just jump right in. Sounds like a good idea.
And like the rest of them, Jamie. All right, that's it for today. Tomorrow morning, we have Christy from the Certified Horsemanship Association. She will be on tomorrow. I know it's a lot of you love that episode every month, so she'll be here. Wednesday, we'll be back with the Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And it's funny, I got a couple emails we had last week. Who was it we had on last week? We had the celebrity. Dale, and we got a couple emails that everybody thought Dale was very funny. And you weren't here, Jamie, but Dale, Dale was our guy from South Dakota who trains the Thoroughbreds, our rancher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he threw down on Jennifer. He just was correcting her left and right about every question. It was kind of
funny.
Are you
serious?
Yeah. Yes. And he taught her at one too that she got wrong. It was about racing, and she got it wrong, and he got it right, and then after that, he was like questioning every question.
Did you tell Dale that this is not the time that what he needs to do is to send his complaints to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com?
We did, but he didn't. He seemed to think that it was his duty to correct Jennifer. It was kind of a chuckle.
He's kind of a salty dude, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't mess around. He's just a salty guy.
You don't
so
get
funny.
It wrong when Dale's on the phone. All right, let's call it a day. Thank you, everybody. Remember to get the app. Download it at the Android or iOS app store. It's free. It's easy to use. Just search for Horse Radio Network. We'll talk to you on Wednesday, Jamie. Take care, everybody.
All right, thanks, Spaded or Geld, guys.
You're like a pebble. Or is it a thorn? Maybe it's more of a thorn.
Maybe I'll create an abscess.
That's fun.